Man, you be seated. Good morning, y'all. Everybody okay? I got 6 texts or emails this morning said, we're sick, we're staying home. I said, thank you, you know, but no, it's good. So if you're watching online and worshiping with us, we're grateful that you're able to do that. But it's so good to be able to be here with y'all today. Honestly, last night, I didn't know if I was going to be able to be here, but God's allowed me to be here this morning, so I'm grateful for that. I'm looking forward to us celebrating a few baptisms later today after the service. But before we do that, can we dive into the Word of God together? Is that good? All right. Hey, as a church family, we are walking through a really great and needed series titled Fully Devoted and seeing what we should be fully devoted to as we follow Jesus, as we live the life of a Jesus follower. In church, we know that there are so many things that we can do. Right? But as we follow Jesus, what are some things that we must do? What are things that Jesus, that God calls us to be fully devoted to? And so over the last few weeks, we started by looking at our personal walk with the Lord, and we saw from Jesus' example that we are to be fully devoted to spending time with the Lord. The next week, spending time with the Lord in prayer. And then the next week, we looked at our personal relationship and we're to be fully devoted to the Word of God. And so time with God in prayer and in His Word, all things, both of those things, church, time with God in prayer and in His Word are not to be secondary in our life, but they are necessary for us to do and be a part of. And then we saw that while we do have a personal relationship with Jesus, it's not something that we keep to ourselves. Jesus calls us to love one another and be devoted to one another within the body of Christ as we follow and serve the Lord together. Here's the truth, church. We were never meant to do this life alone. We were never meant to follow Jesus alone. We were never meant to do ministry alone. And so we're devoted to our time with the Lord and we're devoted to one another. And then last week, we saw that we're to be fully devoted to telling others. And we're going to take a deeper look at that today, but Jesus, if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we follow Him, He is sending you and me out to tell others about Him. And we're to tell others our story of how we met Jesus and how Jesus changed our lives and saved us. And we look to Mark chapter 5 to see a man who most people thought was too messed up, too deep in sin, and too far gone. But we saw the moment when Jesus met him and Jesus saved this man and changed his life. And then we actually see Jesus send this man out to his own people to tell them his story about all that Jesus had done for him. And we're going to continue in that idea of telling others this morning. And we're going to do that by looking at just one verse. And in that one verse, we're going to see 4 main truths that we need to know as we follow Jesus. And after we look at these truths, we're gonna talk about what this means for our church family. And this morning, we're also going to share some news with you that we're going to be doing as a church so that together we're living out this mission that Jesus calls us to be fully devoted to. And so that's our focus this morning, to know that Jesus calls us to be fully devoted to His mission, not our mission, His mission, both in our lives and as a church family. And church, here's what I'd like for us to do. I'm going to read this one verse here in just a second, and then I'm going to ask that we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask each of you, just quietly inside, right where you are, pray and ask God, Lord, would you help me hear from you this morning? Sometimes we come to a familiar passage and we get distracted. Lord, help me hear from you this morning. Help me trust you. Lord, help me respond to you and be obedient to whatever it is that you're calling me to do. And so let's read this passage. And then we'll individually pray, and then I'll lead us in prayer before we dive in. But this verse that we're about to read, this moment takes place after Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already been buried. He's already risen again. And since He's accomplished everything His Father has sent Him to do, He's about to go and be with the Father in heaven. But before He does, Jesus, in His last words, gives us a mission. And this mission changed the world. This mission changed your life. This mission is still changing the world. And this one verse is one that we've looked at many times, but in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, is where we're going to be at. In this verse, Jesus gives us the mission that we're to be fully devoted to. And so I'm going to read that. You guys follow along, and then we'll pray. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so just in this quiet, just ask God, would you help me hear from you? Would you help me trust you? And will you help me respond to you this morning? And then I'll pray. Father, as your church prays, thank you for the ability. The veil was torn because of Jesus, and we have access to you all the time. And God, so we pray today that we would hear from you clearly. God, that you would just direct us as a church. God, would you direct us as individuals? God, if there's any pride, that we would set it aside. God, if there's any sin, that we would confess that and just give it to you so there's nothing in the way of us hearing from you today. And God, even this familiar passage, would you help us hear it fresh? And God, would this be a game changer? I pray, Lord, that this verse would be a game changer for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. This verse is one of the most well-known verses in the New Testament. Many Christians have it memorized, but the question we must ask ourselves is this: are we devoted to what Jesus says here? Are we devoted to this truth and to this mission that Jesus gives us? This mission is the mission that changed, that would change the world, right? And it's still changing the world more than 2,000 years later. And so as we read it and study it together, let's aim to understand what Jesus is telling us, and let's aim to live it out in our lives, but also as a church family. We talked about this last week, but it's worth repeating that someone's last words... So the last words we hear from someone, maybe they're about to move, maybe they're leaving, maybe they're retiring, maybe it's the last time you hear from them before they pass away. Those words are usually some pretty important words. Amen, church, right? And so words that we often cling to, especially if they've gone to be with the Lord. And so these words from Jesus are no different. These last words before he ascends to be with the Father, he has his disciples, his apostles are gathered together. There's more than likely other followers of Jesus there too. And Jesus gives them and us a mission. He says, you are to be my witnesses. So here's to help us understand who he's talking to today. If you have been saved by Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you are the you that Jesus is talking to. All right? So you are the you, I am the you that Jesus is talking to. When he says that you are to be my witnesses, if you're a Christ follower, that is for you. And we saw last week that this is an important mission to tell others who Jesus is and what he did. But Jesus doesn't just give us a mission and leave us to do it alone. Notice what Jesus first says. He says, you, Christ follower, shall receive, not might, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Church, we are not alone in the mission that Jesus gave us. We definitely have each other, church, but we also, in a much bigger reality, we have the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. Church, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives within us. These disciples and these Jesus followers, they had the story to tell. They had the truth of God's word, but Jesus is reminding them that they also have the power needed to do this God-sized mission. Remember, we say this all the time, that when we serve or we do ministry, it's the Lord doing the work in and through us. We're not doing it out of our own strength. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, is within each of us doing the work in and through us. Jesus tells these 12 in John 14, he says, I'm about to go and be with the Father, but he says, I'm not leaving you alone. He tells them that he's going to leave them the Holy Spirit. And many other passages remind us of this promise. We're not going to look at all of these, but if you want to write them down, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Romans 8, 9, Titus 3, 5 through 6, we have the promise in God's word that when we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit immediately comes and dwells within us. And that's truth number one for us this morning. As followers of Jesus, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by God, church. He empowers us and he enables us to do what Jesus has called us to do. There's a reason whenever Jesus is meeting with Martha and Mary, Martha's out serving and doing ministry, but he said what Mary is doing is the most important right now, to be with me, right? To be filled up by me so that she could be used by me. He empowers us and enables us to do what Jesus has called you to do. We can be on mission as Christ followers because we're not alone. We have each other, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit within each of us. And what does he empower us to do? Well, one of the things he empowers us to do, according to Acts 1:8, is to speak boldly. We see so many examples of this in the New Testament, but let's think about Peter for a second. We all know Peter, right? Peter's really good at putting his foot in his mouth. Peter is really good at doing things that we can really identify with. At least I can. But right before Jesus died, right before Jesus was arrested, Peter made a promise to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, I will never leave you. I will suffer for you. I will die for you if I have to." Remember that? But then as Jesus was arrested, Peter got scared. And even when a young servant girl pointed to Peter and said, "Hey, he's a follower of Jesus," what did Peter do? He denied Jesus. He wasn't able to publicly proclaim Jesus. But when we come to Acts chapter 2, one thing changed. He received the Holy Spirit. Peter was now able to stand boldly, not just before a little girl, but before thousands of people. And these thousands of people, some of them are ones that were saying, "Crucify him," to Jesus. And he told them who Jesus was and that they need to follow him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us the boldness. On our own, sometimes we cower behind, right, our fear, right? But when we have the Holy Spirit, we can speak the truth. Later in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are out and they're telling others about Jesus. And guess what happens? They're arrested. And before they're released, they're told that they are no longer to speak. They're no longer allowed to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But guess what Peter and John said? Said, "Sorry, Jack, I got to keep doing what Jesus told me to do." I'm sure one of the leaders' names was Jack, right? But they went back to their church family. Why? Because we need each other, church. And what did they do? They all prayed together. Sounds familiar. Doesn't it sound familiar? We need each other, right? We're to pray together. And what happened? The Holy Spirit gave them the power to share the gospel boldly, even when they've been threatened by authorities. Jesus tells us and reminds us that we get to live Spirit-filled lives. God empowers us to speak boldly, church, to our families, to our neighbors, to our friends, to anybody who will listen about Jesus. That's a good truth. Amen, church? That's number one. We are not alone. We do have one another, but we've got the power of God, the Holy Spirit, giving us the power we need to share boldly. And then Jesus gets to the mission, and here it is. The life we live is that we follow Jesus, but the mission we live out is this. Jesus says, "You," who's the you? Christ followers. Say that with me, Christ followers. You ready? Who's the you? Yeah, nailed it. Way to go. A plus, right? And so he says, "You," Christ followers, "shall be my witnesses." Jesus, the one who died for us, Jesus, the one who rose again, Jesus, the one who has all the authority in heaven and on earth and sits on the throne, Jesus has given us a mission. He's given you a mission, and it's this. Jesus says, as you follow me, you're to tell others about me. You're to be my witnesses. We're going to talk more about the word witness in a bit, but in simplest form, a witness of Jesus is one who tells others the truth about Jesus. Let's not overcomplicate it. Right? A witness of Jesus tells the truth about Jesus. We talked about this last week, that we're to be devoted to telling others who Jesus is, what he's done, and about the life he offers. This is telling the truth about Jesus to whoever needs to hear it, whoever asks about it. Anytime you have an opportunity to stand for Christ, you tell about Jesus. When I think about this word, I think about someone who's called to be a witness in court. Right? Someone who is supposed, I need your help with this one, who's supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and so help me God. All right, y'all should know that part, okay? Just, right? No matter the place, no matter the season, no matter the people we're talking to, when given a chance, we don't cower down. We tell the truth about who Jesus is and what he did and the life he has. Last week in Mark chapter 5, we saw a man who was possessed by demons. He was an outcast. He was rejected. He was living a life of destruction until he met Jesus. Notice it didn't say until he got a seminary degree, or until he became an extrovert, until he met Jesus, and Jesus rescued this man. He gave him a new life. And remember, Jesus sent him out on the same mission. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you. That's it, church. Don't overcomplicate it, right? You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need to be a crazy extrovert. You don't need to have all the answers. Being a witness is going to the people that God has placed in your life and telling them your story. Telling them who Jesus is and what he did and the life he gave you. So here's truth number two. We have a mission and a story. We have a mission and a story. And you know what? You have a mission because you have a story. You have a mission because you have a story about what Jesus did in your life. Here's the crazy thing. The possessed man last week, he had a story. But guess what? You've got a story. You and I were sinners. You and I were far from God. You and I were in need of a Savior, and then we met him. We met Jesus. And if you're saved, then guess what Jesus did for you? He forgave you of your sins. He saved you. He brought you into a relationship, adopted into the family of God. He didn't just like spit on you and kind of clean you up a little bit. He gives you a brand new life, and that's your mission and your story to tell others. And sometimes we get this idea. Well, when it comes to telling people about Jesus, isn't that what we pay the pastor for? And while that's true, Pastor Charles and I must be telling others about Jesus. But here's the truth. It's not the job of just a few people. It's the mission of the family church. It's not just the job of a few. It's the mission of you and me together as a family. And we see that lived out so well in the book of Acts. They all started in Jerusalem. That's where the first church was, right? But a few chapters later, we see that as the gospel spreads, did we know that it wasn't the apostles that was doing most of that? It wasn't the apostles who was taking the message everywhere. It was everyday, ordinary people. People who were saved by Jesus. They're the ones who God used to take the truth of Jesus to the world. When Jesus says, you will be my witnesses, if you're saved, then you're the you Jesus is talking to. And Jesus is your story. But let's look back to the word witness for a minute, because there's actually a whole lot more to this word than meets the eye. The word witness is the Greek word martus. Can you guys read the Greek on there? Here's what that word means. It does mean to be a witness in a legal, historical, and ethical manner. And so we tell the truth about Jesus, we tell about his life and what he did, and we also tell others about the life he calls us to. But this Greek word should actually sound a little familiar to you when you think about martus. It's the Greek word where we get our English word for martyr. Changes the meaning of that word a little bit, doesn't it? Right? Here's the thing, the good news of Jesus, that he came and saved us from our sins, the good news requires great sacrifice. For you and I to have good news, for you and I to be saved, for us to have a story to tell, for us to have a home in heaven, it required a great sacrifice. Jesus, the perfect one, had to give his life so that we had a story to tell. Jesus willingly gave his life for you and me so that we could live eternally. Without sacrifice, there's no good news for you and me. Without Jesus' sacrifice for you and me, there's no salvation, there's no forgiveness, there's no reconciliation with God. Jesus had to die so that you and I could live. But sacrifice is also part of our mission. For others to hear the good news of Jesus, it takes sacrifice, often great sacrifice. Many of these new Christians here in Acts, they lost so much to follow Jesus, but they understood it wasn't just about that day. They understood the long game. They understood that it wasn't just about what I have and what I can do right now. They understood that the good news was about their eternity and others' eternity. They understood that as they drove down the roads of Jerusalem in their Ford, well, let's not say Ford, let's go with the Ram 1500, let's just do that one. Right, they got their Hemi and they're driving down the road, right? They understood that when they saw the people, you know, next to them in the Fords, you know, that needed Jesus, right? They understood, church, that their eternity mattered. Y'all have to forgive me if you're Ford people, I'm just saying, right? Here's the thing, church, we need to see people as eternal beings. They knew it was about eternity. And so many Christians then and many Christians today, they sacrifice so much so that others can hear about Jesus. Many leave their homes. Many leave their families. Many leave their friends. Many leave their jobs to go out and tell others about Jesus because God called them specifically to do that. Many in our world today have lost their jobs, their families, simply because they follow Jesus and want others to know Him. But we also know that many have lost their lives so that others would know the truth about Jesus. A couple days ago, I read some news that just caused me to cry. On the 13th of February, a group of people went into a village, pulled out 70 followers of Jesus and took them out and beheaded them. Why? Because they followed Jesus. Because they were telling others about Jesus. Church, there's more persecution on Christians in our world today than there ever has been. But the church, Christianity, is growing like it never has been. These apostles, these 11 men, let's throw Paul in there, so you got 12, all but one of them were killed because they followed Jesus and told others about Him. Here's the point Jesus is making. We have a mission and we have a story, but we have a message worth sacrificing and dying for. We have a message worth sacrificing and dying for. We have a mission, we have a story, we have a message, church, that we should be willing to sacrifice some things, and sometimes it costs us our lives. Jesus is saying, I gave my life for you. Now be willing to at least sacrifice so that others can know who and what you know. Be willing to sacrifice so that your coworkers, your friends, your family members can know that there is a God who loves them and came to rescue them. So as Jesus' followers, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have a mission, a story, a message worth sacrificing and dying for, because this world is not all there is, church. Our mission is to be used by God so that others can know where they're going to spend eternity, so that others can have the life that they were created to have. Because this world is not all there is, church. We need to know it's about eternity. And so truth number three is this. We have unreached and unsaved people all around us. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, and I'm going to say it 10,000 more. We live in one of the most unchurched, unsaved cities in all of America. I promise you, there's people around you that don't know Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says back in verse 8. He says, you, Christ follower, shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So let's dissect that a little bit. He said, you're going to be my witnesses. You got a message to take to people. He says, you're going to take it to Jerusalem. Who was their Jerusalem? It was their community. It was their friends, it was their neighbors, it was their co-workers, it was their family, it was those they went to school with, those they worked with, it was where they lived at, church. And remember, even in Jerusalem, there were all sorts of different type of people in Jerusalem. There were the rich and the poor, the popular, the rejected, the religious and the unclean, the honest workers and the tax collectors, right? And don't, you know, a lot of times we think, well, why don't they just stay in Jerusalem? That'll be an easier task. We might think it's the easiest mission field, but remember, people who live in Jerusalem are the same people who shouted out, crucify Jesus. So the people that are surrounding them in Jerusalem are the same people who wanted Jesus gone and want them gone. And Jesus says, take the message to them too. And so Jesus is sending them with a message and a mission to all those right around them. For us, that might be your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family, your classmates, your spouse, your grandma, the people at the park. This is the people who love us, and it's the people who reject us. It's the people who like us and the people who hate us. And so Jesus, the mission giver, is saying, start right here. We saw this with the man in Mark 5 from last week. Jesus says, you don't need to go out on the mission field with us. I want you to stay right here in this mission field. Church, we need to understand that God has placed us where we are. Here, there's the reality, church. Whether you want to be here or not, you are here in Tucson because this is where God wants you right now. And He's placed the people He has around you. Why? Because you might be the only follower of Jesus they ever hear from. So Jesus says, you got Jerusalem, and then He says Judea and Samaria. So Judea is the greater region. right? For us, Jerusalem might be right here in Tucson, and Judea might be in Arizona, or maybe even in the United States, right? It's the larger region. But Jesus is saying, don't just keep it in your hometown, take it to the greater region. Let it keep spreading. But you know, Samaria is a hard one. This is an area mostly north, just north of Judea, but it's not the location that made this one hard, it was the people. It's the people. They didn't mind traveling just a bit, but they didn't want to travel to where the Samaritans were. We don't have time to go through all of why they hated each other, but the Jews and Samaritans hated each other. And this is a hatred that went back for many generations. I bet many of the people that hated the Samaritans and the Jews didn't even know why they hated them. Their mom and dad said, you need to, right? If you were a Jew, you were raised knowing that the Samaritans were to be rejected. They were unclean. They were not worth any value. In fact, the Jews often called them like scavenging dirty dogs. The Jews believed that whatever the Samaritans said, even if it was good, it was wrong because the Samaritans said it. Whatever idea they had, even if it was a good one, it was a bad one because the Samaritans came up with it. Whatever they were doing, it must be rejected because the Samaritans were doing it. And we can relate to that, church. If you're driving down the road, you might see a bumper sticker that has your sports team rival on it, and you all of a sudden have deep feelings about them one way or the other, right? Or maybe you're walking down the street and you see someone wearing the other party's political t-shirt or hat, and so you have pretty strong feelings about them. And there are people who look different than us and sound different than us and dress different than us, and we have this automatic resistance in them, and Jesus says, go and tell them too. And you say, why, Jesus? And said, because I died for them too. Jesus is absolutely saying, tell others that are close to you and that you have a good relationship. Tell those who are part of the same team in the same party, in the same state, in the same country. But Jesus says, I also want you to tell those who yelled out at me to crucify me. I also want you to tell people who hate you and look down upon you. And then Jesus says, even to the remotest part of the earth. Jesus wants us to either go or to be involved in sharing the gospel to places all over the world. We go and we tell people here in the U.S., but we also go and tell people in Mexico. We go to Africa. We're part of people hearing about it in Israel. We go to tell people in Iran. We go and tell people in Hungary and in Germany and China. In Matthew 28, Jesus tells us that we're to take the good news of Jesus to the nations. What does that word mean? It does mean countries. We think about that. The U.S. is a nation, but more specifically, that word actually means people groups. Because here's the thing. You don't like people that are different than you, you're not going to like heaven. Just saying, when we're all in heaven, we know, Scripture tells us, we know that there will be Jesus followers from every nation and every tribe and every tongue. And so in its simplest form, Jesus is saying, take this message about Jesus here, there, and everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere. There are lost and unreached people all over the world. So have a heart and be involved in people hearing about Jesus right here in your life and even in the greater region in Arizona, in the Southwest, in the U.S. And don't forget that we need to be a part of people hearing about the gospel all over the world. Church, let's recap. As we follow Jesus, know that we have a power, the power of the Holy Spirit that enables you and me to speak boldly. We have a mission from Jesus and a story to tell about Jesus. And it's a message, church, that's worth sacrificing for and worth dying for. And then realize that there's a world of people around us who will die not knowing Jesus. Jesus says, how will they know without a preacher? Right? The Bible says that. How will they know without a preacher? We need to go. We need to send people out and we need to be those people. And so, church, we get to be used by God to make sure that they hear about the Jesus who loves them. What a great honor. We don't have a problem telling people where we stand politically or what team is the best or what car is the best. Church, what a great honor to be used by Jesus, commissioned by Jesus to say, hey, go and tell Tim or Tony or Tucker about Jesus. They know Jesus, but if they don't, go tell them, right? The only one who can save people, the only one who can bring change into their life and give a new life is Jesus. And so right here, there, and everywhere, we're to be on mission. Church, you probably already know this, but we're so involved in our community for a reason. We're so involved in city engagement for a reason. Because Jesus loves the people that he's put around us. So do we. That's why city engagement is so important to us. It's not about hot dog stands on Halloween. It's not about Easter egg hunts and bounty houses. It's about being with the people so that we can love them. We want to connect with them. We want to see their needs. We want to love them like Jesus loves them. We want to tell them about Jesus, the one who changed our lives and our eternity. I just read a report just yesterday, and it said somewhere around like 70-some percent are willing to hear you tell them about Jesus. Unsaved people, 70% of them said they are willing to sit down and have a conversation with someone to tell them about Jesus. So we have a mission, and we have a local mission field, but it's so important to know that God has called people to go to other parts of the country and other parts of the world. Church, we need to understand that we do have our local family here. Amen? The great family. I love this church. But we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are all over the world. Missionaries who are sacrificing so that others can hear about Jesus. Our last truth for today is this. It's the last truth for today. It's the last truth in this series. We have missionaries to partner with. And I want to bring this truth just a little bit closer to home. I remember when God called us to come and leave Kansas City and plant a church in Tucson. Y'all need to know that God used other Christians and other churches to see this ministry to get going. We didn't do this. God did it, and he used other people to help us, other Christians, other churches. What do? They prayed for us. They came out and served with us. They gave financially toward the work that we were called to do. Some even left their hometown or their churches to be a part of what God was doing in and through Authentic Life Church. Some of you are in here today that were part of that original core team that listened to God say, you need to go and be a part of Authentic Life Church so they can reach the southeast side of Tucson with the gospel of Jesus. And I praise God for you. We should praise God for them, church. I praise God that he allowed us to come down here. I praise God that he had partners all over the place who were part of us coming down here. We are here today because God sent us, but also because others said, we want to be a part of the mission in Tucson, Arizona. We want to see people saved in Tucson, Arizona. We want to see life change in Tucson, Arizona. And so we're going to pray and we're going to give. And some people said, we're going to go. At ALC Church, we already pray for our missionaries on a regular basis. We give every single month financially to give towards missions. 10% of our undesignated giving goes directly into the missions' hands. And we've been able to serve with many of them. And so we have missionaries to partner with prayerfully, financially, and practically. Prayerfully, financially, and practically. When people asked us years ago when we came down here as church planting missionaries, they said, how can we support you? How can we be a part of what God's doing? I said, it's the three P's. You can pray, you can pay, or you can play. Right? Come out and be a part of what God's doing. Does that make sense? You can pray. That's easy. Pay, support us, and then play is come and be a part of what God's doing prayerfully, financially, and practically. And I love the example we have of this in the book of Philippians. God led Paul and his team to go into the city of Philippi, and God used them to share the gospel, and many people were saved, and God used them to start a church, and the church, people kept getting saved, the church kept growing, and God used this new church to reach the city of Philippi. Just like he's used an Authentic Life church to reach the city of Tucson. But listen to what Paul says to this church. In the letter of Philippians, he says in chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, he says, church, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. I'm always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I want missionaries to say that at Authentic Life Church. Here's what Paul is saying. When I left you all in Philippi to go and plant more churches and to go tell others about Jesus, y'all didn't abandon me. You partnered with me and my team. And look what he says in chapter 4, verse 15. He says, and you Philippians, you know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my needs several times. He goes on to say, I didn't have any other needs. Paul is thanking God because this church could have said, hey, thanks, Paul, for sharing the gospel with us. Thanks, Paul, for getting this church started. Hey, thanks for going out and being a missionary. But we're just going to sit here and focus on our little church right here in Philippians, right, in Philippi. No, they said, we want to be on mission for Jesus. We want to be involved in supporting missions here, there, and everywhere. And so what did they do? They gave financially. They prayed for him, and they also sent people to encourage, and they served Paul and his team, and they were telling others about Jesus and starting churches. That church of Philippi, a lot of miles away, got to be a part of what God was doing. Jesus' mission is happening right here and all over the world, and here's the truth. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can hold it back. Not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail over the church of Jesus. Churches have been burned down. Missionaries and Christians have been jailed and even killed. But in those places, the gospel spreads even more. You know why, church? Because it's not done out of your power and my power. I don't know how big or strong we are. It's by the power of God that the church grows. And we must be devoted to his mission and to telling our story here. We must be devoted to his mission in the greater region there. And we must be devoted to his mission to the nations, which is everywhere. But before we continue to talk about what this means for ALC, I want to stop and ask each of you here, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know that you're a sinner who is separated from God, who needs a Savior? Do you know that Jesus loves you? And he came for you. In John 3:16, when Jesus says, "For God so loved the world," he's saying, "For God so loved you." Here's the good news. Our sin does separate us from God, both now and for eternity. But Jesus came so that we didn't have to stay separated. Jesus came to forgive you of the sins that nobody else even knows about. He came to make you new and to give you a home with him for eternity. And Jesus says, if you believe in me, if you trust in me, if you call on me to save you, Jesus says, I will. If you're here today, I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm not asking you if you're good. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And we're going to give you a chance to respond to that here in just a few minutes. But if that's you today, if you hear God saying, hey, you're mine, respond to me. Hey, I came for you. Give your life to me. Hey, I came for you. Call on me to save you, because he will. But let's talk about what all of this means for Authentic Life Church and for our church family. Beginning this year, we don't have every single detail to give out yet, but starting this year, we're going to begin to live out this a little bit more than what we have before, this whole here, there, and everywhere. We're going to be more intentional about it as a church. I praise God that we pray for our missionaries. I praise God that we have always, ever since we started, from the first time someone gave tithes to Authentic Life Church, we gave to missions. But in 2025, we're going to start right here in Tucson. And this year, we're going to partner with one or maybe two church plants right here in Tucson. And we're going to see what needs they have and how we can go and serve them. Maybe we're going to help them with an event. Maybe we'll help them go out and share Jesus. But this year, in 2025, we're going to take steps to be involved with partnering with our missionaries more than with just a check and prayers. We're going to give opportunities for us to go as a team and go and help and support another church plant. Next year, in 2026, we'll take it out a little bit more. We're going to find another missionary, another church planter, another pastor, another ministry who is further away. It might be here in Arizona or maybe somewhere else in the United States, but it's going to be outside of Tucson, and we're going to do the same thing. We're going to pray for them, and we're going to serve alongside them. And then in 2027, we're going to plan our very first mission trip somewhere internationally. We don't know where it's going to be at, but we're going to be seeking the Lord. We're going to be praying, God, where would you have us go? Which missionary would you have us partner with? But we're going to be planning for that short-term missionary trip. And we know that not every person is going to be able to go for everything, but all of us can be involved financially and prayerfully regardless. But as a church, this is the mission Jesus has given us. And so we're going to take those steps in obedience to be a part of what he's doing right here and throughout the world. Amen, church? That's what we're going to do. We always need to be devoted to sharing the gospel right here, but I love that our church is going to take that next step to be a part of what God is doing here, there, and everywhere. And so, church, I'm asking that you would pray for us as we figure out where we're going to serve. We already know probably the church plants that we're going to serve here in this area, but especially in those years to come, I would love to see you guys join us as we go overseas or into another country to share the gospel and be a part of a missionary trip there. Amen? All right. Yeah, let's pray.